Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, it's looking so good today for a round of golf. Mostly sunny, high about 82, breezy. Ooh, those east-northeasterly winds are 10 to 17, gusts as high as 24. You're going to have to keep it low and to the ground, not on the ground, of course, but just keep it low and out of those winds when you're going to go out and play around. Tomorrow, we can expect mostly sunny with a high near 83 and the winds die down to 10 to 13. You know, if they bother you, it may be best to wait until Sunday to go out and play around. But here's some tee times for you. Macaulay on the Big Island. There's an 8:50, a 10 o'clock, 11:08. Volcano Golf Club, there's an 8:32, a 9:24, and a 10:48. And the Vulcans are going to get out on the golf course. We've got also, Poipu. They've sold out because the junior prep, they're out on the golf course this weekend, and I'll have more information on that coming up. From Kauai Lagoons, we've got tee times 8:36, 9:20, 11:30. Doctors at play, good for you. And then we've got on Oahu, lots of tee times. Pearl at Kalaau'au, 8:30, 9:08, 10:40. Hawaii Kai, 8:42, 9:26. Turtle Bay, 8:38, 9:50, 10:10. The sand fleas are getting out on the golf course. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, there's an 8:32, a 10:10, and an 11:52. Eva Beach Golf Course, 8:36, 9:56, and a 10:18. Bayview, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30. Let's go over to Maui. Wailea, we've got a 10:30, it looks like, on the, is it the gold course that we're playing there? We've also got the baristas on the course, on the emerald course, that is, 9:20 and 10:30. The blue course has a 9:30, a 10:30, and an 11 o'clock. And then Maui Nui, we have a 9:16 open and a 10:42, and the car guys. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right, let's bring him into the clubhouse. It's Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator and analyst, host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Danielle. How's everybody on the links this morning in Hawaii?
It's a beautiful day to get out. It looks really nice. It's just those winds I was talking about. You don't want to get caught up in the trades as you watch that ball go exactly where you don't want it to.
Yeah, don't swing harder. You know, everybody starts swinging too hard and too fast when they're playing in the wind. And what you have to remember when you're playing in the wind, the harder you swing, the more spin you're going to put on the ball. The more spin you put on the ball, the more the wind is going to affect it. So the way to conquer the wind is really swing easier and strike the ball so it doesn't have as much spin, and then the wind won't affect it so much.
Right on. And see, that's what they mean when they say, when breezy, swing easy, or something to that.
That is correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. God, such a good lesson just to start off the show. That is awesome. Thank you very much. I'm curious, are you following the LIV Golf situation with their strategic decisions, perchance?
Oh, yeah. I'm following it all very closely, and I'm commenting on it from time to time on Golf Channel. Now, having said that, I go to the U.S. Open next week, and I'm going to be on live from the U.S. Open all week long. So there will be a lot of conversation, but I certainly don't like much of what I'm hearing, and I wish we could kind of end this discussion pretty quickly. And if they want to play through the end of the year, then fine. But just kind of going on and having a diluted product that they're cutting costs and doing all kinds of things is not going to be good for the game.
Right, exactly. I mean, here's something from online. When contacted on Thursday, a LIV spokesperson said the league made the strategic decision to drop the three feeds for the remainder of the season as it evaluates its operations and production model. I mean, It just, and then they're going to get the Live app users who've been paying $59.99 a year or $8.99 for an event pass. They're going to give them access to group and team streams, an any shot, any time feature. I mean, it's like, hello, let's go play bingo. You know,
The strategic decision is to try to save as much money as they can. You know, the biggest faux pas that they've really committed is this whole thing with the New Orleans tournament, which is, I think, supposed to be in 2 weeks. Now, that has been postponed or canceled because they said they figured out it was going to be too hot and that it was going to be during the time they're playing the World Cup. Well, they've known that for years and years, that they just came across that conclusion that it was going to be hot in New Orleans in the middle of June, you know. Now I don't know. I don't quite get it. So I think the excuses are getting lamer and lamer.
Yeah, it truly. I wish they'd just sort of fold up camp and we can get back to. I like a little competition, but this one isn't working. And yet Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson, two of the, you know, star players, as it were, they still like Live Golf, and I'm kind of confused, you know, with Dustin Johnson saying long live golf. Bryson DeChambeau spoke with the media before Live Golf Korea about how bullish he is feeling about the business plan that they're taking to investors. I'm glad they're getting behind it. That's awesome, but I wish they would just go back to the PGA Tour. I miss them.
Well, there's a big question that's going to have to be settled here because I'm under the assumption that what Live Golf is going to do is go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And that's the best way for them to protect themselves and reorganize and maybe come back with a different look. But what we don't understand at this point is who are the players' contracts with?
Oh.
They could be with two different entities. They could either be with the Saudi Investment Fund, which is PIF, which is the one that is dissolving and not going to be supporting it anymore. And therefore, if you have a contract with PIF, if you wanted to enforce the fact that they owed you money, you'd have to basically go and sue Saudi Arabia, which in the middle of a war and everything going over there, I don't think is going to get you a whole lot of money right now.
Uh-uh.
The other scenario is the contract could be with Live Golf and not the PIF. If it's with Live Golf, we know they don't have any assets. We know that they lost $5 billion over the last 4 years. So there is no solution there. So I think the guys that have these contracts, particularly the John Rahm kind of contract, I'm afraid he's going to be stuck with a bankrupt entity that won't be paying him. And what is his recourse against him going to be? I don't know.
Interesting. I do have to ask you finally on the Live topic, PGA Tour CEO Brian Rolapp on the Dan Patrick Show said, I think Live got it right. They pushed the PGA Tour to get better. I just don't see that. I don't understand that.
Well, they made it better for the top players. It basically got them more money. And what it did was made it an unsustainable model. So I don't agree with what Brian said there. I think Liv did institute some looking in the mirror for the PGA Tour as to really what they needed to do long term. To be more sustainable. They have not found that model yet.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything that Brian Rolapp said at his press conference before the Players' Championship has not happened. He's really having a hard time with this 2027 schedule. He said they were going to start in a big market. They're not. They're starting in Palm Springs. He said they were going to start later in January. They're not. They're going to be on the Golf Channel right against the NFL playoffs, just like they were before.
Crazy.
You know, it's taking longer than they thought. He's not getting the buy-in from the players. And the real problem that they're now facing is that they're going to have two levels of events. You're going to have A events and B events on the PGA Tour, We've known that forever. That's kind of always been the case. You know, you've had events that have good fields every year and events that have bad fields every year. But now the top players are likely not going to be able to play in the second level events because none of the second level players will ever get a chance to start if Jordan Spieth, for example, could play in the Dallas tournament because he's from Dallas. How in the world are they going to tell Jordan that he can't play in that tournament? That's going to be a little bit awkward. And I just don't know. They're really getting a lot of pushback, and they've got a lot of big decisions to make. And, you know, everybody's talking about the only real big decision is how to welcome back the players to the PGA Tour. That's one of the big decisions, but it's certainly not all of them.
Yeah, and welcome back. Yeah, they need to come back because the guys that went to live, all right, you know, are you going to spank them? They just need to come back to the PGA Tour because the PGA Tour needs those names. Everything just seems to have gotten wishy-washy. It doesn't have any pull to it. I don't feel like I want to watch because it just doesn't have the same je ne sais quoi that we used to watch on television when the PGA Tour was playing before LIV Golf. So I'm just disappointed in the whole shebang of golf. It's upsetting. I mean, the LPGA is doing better than the PGA Tour. And I'm, yay girls, you know. It's just, I find it uncomfortable. And I'm glad LIV is getting out of the game. Andrew Beef Johnson made headlines for the right reasons for a change, Mark. Talking with Mark Rolfing this morning, the 37-year-old English golfer, reading from the story, who entered the week ranked 639th in the world, shot a 62 at Golf Club Kitzbühel Schwarzsee Reich, that was on Friday in the Austrian Alpine Open, this week's DP World Tour stop, to open a three-shot lead at the midway point. Now, see, when was the last time we've heard from Andrew Beef Johnson?
Well, we haven't heard from him in a long time because he went through a real downturn in his career there. But it's great to see him back. You know, that's kind of been a trend. If you think about it, we've had some of these players that all of a sudden have reappeared. I mean, where did Brant Snedeker come from?
Yes.
You know, he was almost retired off the PGA Tour. You know, he's going to be the President's Cup captain, and here he wins a tournament. Which was amazing. I'll tell you, though, when you talk about LIV, and I think about LIV, when I look at what Brooks Koepka has done to return the PGA Tour, they've done that the right way, and Brooks paid a huge price. He had to pay millions of dollars. He had to donate money to charity. He had to sit out for a while, and he had to start with the smaller events. He couldn't play in any of the big signature events. So I think that is a pretty good solution to how to ease players back in. And to me, the thing to do would be to have them start on the DP World Tour because that is effectively part of the PGA Tour now.
Right on.
And if they went and played over there and that the way they got back onto the PGA Tour was to finish in the top 10 on that money list, they would get back onto the PGA Tour. It would be effectively like a year of playing in Europe, and it would really bolster that event. It would be a home country for a lot of players like Cam Smith or John Rahm or, you know, Joaquin Neiman or those kind of guys. And I don't think letting them directly back onto the PGA Tour without paying any penalty, I don't think that will happen.
Okay, I don't think so either. And I find it kind of childish in a way, excuse me. The guys just opted for what was best for their families and for their pocketbook, something that most people take for granted that they're going to do that. But I'm glad. I just want them all to get back together. And back to Beef, Andrew Beef Johnson. He has had so many medical issues, his thumb surgery and all these ligament tears that he's had over the last 3 years. And now he's finally back on track, and he's really excited about being able to play. With the injury, I looked at stuff that I could personally sort out to be better at, and I started going back to the gym, and I felt really compressed. That's a quote from him. there's a nice little coffee shop in Perth next door, and there's a yoga place next door. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to wander in and have a look in, ask a few questions. And I found this yoga teacher, and she's been brilliant. So sometimes you just never know what's going to get you back on track. And there he is, getting back on track and really enjoying life again. And that's wonderful. I meant to go straight to Friends of Hawaii Charities. Mark Rolfing is with us this morning. And Friends of Hawaii Charities, the 2026 Sony Open in Hawaii proceeds, 28-year total charity grants distribution was $27.8 million. I'm a little confused about this. Friends of Hawaii Charities and Hawaii Community Foundation distributed millions to island nonprofit organizations from 2026 Sony Open and Hawaii PGA Tour tournament. Now, the question it begs, do you think, have you heard whether or not we'll ever get back? I know it's not going to be this coming year, but are we going to get the Sony back or the Century back?
I think it's likely we're not going to get Century back, but I think it's pretty likely that something is going to happen with the Sony Open, and I wouldn't be surprised to see something happen next year. I'm not sure it's actually going to be a PGA Tour event. I think it's more likely it's going to be a Champions event. Because, as you know, we have one out here in Hawaii, which is the Mitsubishi Electric Championship. And having one tournament on its own sitting there in January is not going to work, because you've got to rent all the TV equipment for 5 weeks and put it on a barge in Oakland and send it all the way over and for one tournament and then all the way back. So it would be very, very expensive. So I know there is motivation to do a second event. There's a tremendous group of players that have won the Sony Open and been involved in the Sony Open that love Hawaii, guys like Vijay Singh and Ernie Els and Davis Love and Zach Johnson and, you know, Jeff Sluman and Jim Furyk and just on and on and on. And I think that could be a viable solution. The important thing, I think, in this discussion, and it's been going on this week, the PGA Tour has been out here this past week. I've been over at Wailea Country Club in a number of meetings and discussions. And I really think that we, as the state of Hawaii, need to do whatever we can to keep the relationship with the PGA Tour going and keep that runway open, because I do believe there will be a day where the PGA Tour is back in Hawaii.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because it means an awful lot to a lot of people. In addition to bringing the guests from the mainland or from wherever they're coming from around the world, it just really feels good. You know, it's like we're open again. It's been feeling like we're closed as a destination.
You know, I'll tell you an interesting story, Danielle. I was on the 17th hole during the Sony Open this past January. They had my set out there, and so that's where I was announcing from. So every player that teed off on the first 2 days basically walked by where I was. And I will tell you, at more than half of the players came over to my set to either thank me or, in the case of Chris Goddard, and now I have never met at that point Chris Goddard, who ended up winning, but he came over and he said, Mark, I just want you to know one thing. First, thank you for everything you've done here, but two, I'm going to be coming back next year, even if there's no tournament. That's how much I love Hawaii. You know, yes. The PGA Tour needs to be in Hawaii, and I thought that was pretty telling, and I totally agree. And I really don't think, you know, if we've been going on here since 1965 at Wailea, I don't think it's going to end forever now.
Yeah, I sure hope not. I mean, I sure hope that we get going and bring the guys over. They like being here. A lot of them do. And bringing their families, it's a great thing. Is there anything that I left out that you wanted to cover, Mark?
No, I think, you know, as I look at Hawaii and where it was sort of, you know, the whole sports business out here, you know, there was a time, Danielle, where we had 11 live televised golf tournaments. That was when I was the head of the events committee on the HCA. We had 11 year-round, wow. And now we're down to 3. We don't have, you know, the Pro Bowl anymore. We don't have the Hula Bowl anymore. We don't have the Ironman Triathlon. We've pretty much lost all of the big sporting events that we ever had. And I keep hearing that we're going to have task forces and we're going to do analysis and studies, and somebody thinks we ought to have the Super Bowl. And my God, come on, let's get real and do whatever we can. You know, we couldn't even get the legislature to approve $5 million for NIL money, you know, to help keep us, you know, in a survival mode with our Division I status at the University of Hawaii. We really have to get going here and say, you know what, we got to keep up with the Joneses. We're going to lose our college basketball.
I mean, terrible.
You know, the tournaments on Maui, you know, we had never paid a team ever to come over here and play, and we had the best teams in the country for decades, and now Las Vegas is paying $1 million per team to play in a tournament on the same exact dates. Now, if you're a university and somebody's going to give you $1 million to go and somebody else is going to give you nothing, which tournament are you going to go to? That's a pretty easy decision. So I kind of feel bad about it, but we are at a crossroads right now, and we've got to start pushing hard.
Well, thank you for being in the mix and pushing hard, because that's sad, the fact that they're paying them $1 million. Where are we going to get $1 million to pay somebody to come fly over? And it's Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator and analyst and host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse with me. It's always fun talking with you. Interesting and informative. Mark, thanks.
You got it, Danielle. I'll talk to you after the U.S. Open.
Excellent. Thank you. Have fun. Aloha.
All right.
We're going to come back after this, and Steve Pike is joining us from the East Coast. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
I love how this is phrased. It's almost stopped raining. You know, we always think it's like May, it's going to be June. Summer starts pretty soon, doesn't it? Or has it started? And it's still raining. We need water. I get it. Water's important. We drink it. We bathe in it. And it all comes from the sky down on us. That's the only place we get water from. But it has almost stopped raining. And so to help you through the chaos, Aloha Power's After the Rain Sale features Honda generators, pumps, chainsaws, whackers and trimmers, and a whole lot more. 25% off. Indeed, we have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. Mow it and blow it and bag it and you're done. And it works so quick. Get what you need. Aloha Power Equipment. That's your destination, whether it's in Iwilei next to the Costco gas station or in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring him into the clubhouse. Steve Pike, Spike on golfandtravel.com is where you'll find him. He covers luxury travel, golf, culinary, cruise, sports business. It's Spike's Golf and Travel, Golf One Media. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Now, did I miss something that you wanted to put into your introduction?
No, I think that about covers it. You know, I have a trouble keeping a job, so, you know, but I think that'll do for now.
I don't know. You've been one of the most respected voices in the game of golf and travel industries. You worked for Golf Week, Golf World, Golf Digest, a part of the New York Times Magazine group. I think you're doing pretty well for yourself. Where are you now?
I am sitting on my porch at my home in Ocala, Florida, at a place called On Top of the World, which is just south of Gainesville, between Gainesville and Orlando. It's a community that has, I think, 8 swimming pools and 3 golf courses and all sorts of amenities. It's a nice place to try to wind down wind down your career at.
Ryan, well, I always think of you as being on the road again. How long have you been a kind of like semi-retired?
No, I'm very fortunate. I've been doing this on the golf side for 37 years now. So the past 20 years or so, 15 years or so, I get to pick and choose my spot.
Right on.
So I sort of work for myself and, do what I want to do or when I want to do it, and have enough contacts and all in the golf industry, whether it's on the business side, the equipment side, the travel side, that keeps me as busy as I want to be.
That's right. And you get to write about it and let people know what's going on. And I have to just say that you have played golf from Pebble Beach to St. Andrews. Don't we all wish? You've walked the Great Wall of China. You've climbed an active volcano in the Canary Islands. Don't you know that's dangerous? What are you doing?
The most dangerous part of that was the last 400 yards or so, because it wound up a trail. The trail to the top of the volcano was probably only about 6 feet wide, and it was all gravel and dirt, and you wind your way up to the top of that. So that was probably the most dangerous part. You just never wanted to look down until you got to the top.
All right. Okay. And just because we're on volcano right now, I just thought I should mention that from the summit observations, in case you're on Hawaii Island and you're thinking about, we don't see a whole lot of activity like fountaining. So far, the bright glow was visible from both Halemaumau eruptive vents overnight. Common low-level spatter was visible throughout the night from within the north vent. A single spatter burst from within the south vent. That was seen at 3:47 this morning. Mm-hmm. And no precursory overflows from either vent have occurred yet. But if you're going to go play golf like at a volcano golf course, it is a spectacular view because you can see right across the valley, so to speak. And there she is, you know, just pumping out that lava while you're playing golf.
Yes, it's really otherworldly, and the volcano called Teide, which is on the Canary Islands, is almost the same way. It hasn't erupted for several hundred years, I think, but when it did, it created this moonscape that you can drive to, and then a cable car will take you almost to the top, and then you walk around probably the last of the 400 yards to get to the top. So, you get to play golf, you know, in a lot of unique places.
A lot of unique places, including, all right, let's go to a great visit today with Boomer Eric, the director of golf. This is the, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, Miaka Golf Club in Southwest Florida. About 12 holes so far have been completed.
Yeah, Miaka is a great story. It's probably the most anticipated private golf course that's going to be open in Florida later on this year. It's a great design by Jason Strake and Dana Fry, who are really on top of their games right now. They're doing a course in Ireland called Kirriclough, and Jason, a couple of years ago, probably a little longer than that now, helped renovate Bel Air, which is a couple hours north of Miaka, but it's owned by a billionaire businessman named Steve Herrig, who essentially has spared no expense to come in and create a golf course and a golf club like no other, using two different kinds of zoysia grasses, one called stadium grass and one called laser grass, laser zoysia. And there's a couple holes that play along the Miyaka River. And it's gonna be spectacular. I think it'll all be done. Anticipated all being done, you know, probably in November. We'll see. I'm interested in particular to see how the laser zoysia holds up on the greens. The stadium grass, the stadium zoysia is going to be on the fairways, and if I remember correctly, the fairways and the tee boxes. But the stadium zoysia is what you use for soccer pitches and a lot of football fields. So that's a fairly common athletic field grass. When you talk to different superintendents and different professionals and people who know about agronomy, they're anxious to see how the laser zoysia grass holds up on the greens.
Nice.
Nobody knows.
Interesting, right? I mean, talking about an experiment. But PGA Tour legend Paul Azinger, he's involved?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand it, Danielle.
Paul Azinger, the PGA Tour legend, is he working on this one too? I think I read that in your column.
He is. Zinger lives not too far away in the Sarasota area, and I think he and Steve Herrig have known each other for a long time. And if memory serves, Paul, I think, also did some work or some consulting work on the Concession Club, which is almost in between Sarasota and Miyaka. So Paul, as well as being a great player and a great communicator, he also knows a little bit about golf course design. He's really, when you talk to the guys at Miyaka, whether it's Boomer Eric, who's the head professional, or Dana and Jason, they rave about what Paul has brought to the table.
Nice. It's good to see a great player like Zinger getting involved in golf course design and being a part of that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but literally across the river, across the street, however you want to put it, there's another real private golf course called Soletta that Nick Price had a major hand in designing too, and it's a terrific golf course as well.
Fantastic. That's awesome. I was kind of curious about one of your articles. I love how you write. The PGA Tour, presidents are elected to be seen and except on rare occasions not heard. And even then, it's carefully scripted, truth be told. The PGA's leadership, from CEO to elected officials, kind of floundering since Jim Autry retired as CEO in 2005. So what gives?
I think Jim was, he was there for 12 years. He was a real guiding force and a real steady hand in building the PGA to where it was when he left in 2005. And I think Jim had really good control over the board. He was a PGA member, so he understood the inner workings of the PGA. I remember asking him one time, I think when we were out playing golf one time, I said, well, how many people really understand how the PGA works? And I think he said less than 50. And since then, it's not unusual for any business, when you lose somebody who's a steadying influence like that, to have a lot of leadership challenges and leadership changes over the next few years. And I think the board, it's so board driven, and in a way, it's sort of like the PGA Tour. It's paralyzed by tradition.
Oh.
It wants to do things one way because that's the way it's always done it, but it doesn't always work now, particularly as the board of directors gets bigger. And I think there was a story in Golf Week magazine, a really nice story a couple of weeks ago, that talked about the same thing. And I think it mentioned that the board of directors is now comprised of 19 people and a handful of others. So 19 people, probably plus two or three. And they quoted Jim Autry in that story as saying that, you know, that's not a board of directors, that's a focus group. And I think Jim was, you know, again, Jim is exactly right. He can see, you know, get right to the point on that. And it's like having too many cooks. It's like what happens when if you had a committee try to design a horse, it would come up with a camel.
Sure.
You know, with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what the PGA is going through right now. But it's always been, even when Jim was there and through the other CEOs, it's always been, because it's a professional organization, you have to have, your members at least be figureheads as far as president, vice president, secretary, but they've never really had any power. It's just like I said, and it's certainly not an original thought. They're there just to be brought out whenever it's convenient to be brought out. You know, they speak for the most part off scripts, but the power all lies with the CEO and with the board of directors. Now that said, I don't know when from 89 until 95, when I worked, at the PGA and with the PGA when I was at Golf Digest and at Golf Week, I sort of knew who all the power brokers were inside the big white building in Palm Beach Gardens and outside. Now I don't know who the power brokers in the on the board of directors are, or who's really calling the shots. I think that's the question everybody really wants to know, is who's really calling the shots at the PGA of America?
That's weird. It's, you know, I always think of the PGA Tour and the PGA of America as having really solid foothold, you know, just, and when I was reading what you wrote about, you know, that, you know, they trot him out and then whatever he has to say on the podium is carefully scripted, you know, mm-hmm. you know, talk about having your hands tied behind your back.
The tour is a little bit of a different animal because it got along great as long with what I would call caretaker commissioners since Dean Beaman. I think Tim Fincham was a little bit more than a caretaker commissioner, but Monahan really was nothing more, in my opinion, than a caretaker commissioner who, as long as things were moving smoothly, he was fine in that job. But as soon as Live Golf came along and the boat started to rock and the boat started to take water, he didn't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. He took a month off because he was stressed out. Well, I don't think Roger Goodell would ever take a month off because he's stressed out over what the owners think in the NFL. It's tough to take something like that very serious. It's tough to take a commissioner very seriously when he does something like that. Mm-hmm. And the tour has made a lot of missteps along the way with Live Golf. And conversely, Live Golf has made quite a few mistakes along the way, too. And we are where we are now there with each.
Yeah, it would be nice to get back on track. On the PGA Tour, speaking of, Aaron Rye, now a major champion, PGA Championship victory. It seems like a very nice guy. What do you think?
I think until it's proven otherwise, he's just another guy.
Okay.
You know, you ever heard of Jimmy Walker?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know, he won the PGA Championship, I think, in
a long time ago,
2016. Yeah. You know, yes. How about Sean McKeel? How about Rich Beam? And there's guys like that on the U.S. Open too. Maybe Michael Campbell. You know, guys like that. Until you can prove, until you can win at least two and more, then you get all the exemptions and that stuff. That's great. But you're still in this day and age with all these guys wanting to compile, and rightfully so, compile major championships. Until you can win two, three, and four, you're just another guy. I mean, not to besmirch my friend John Daly, who I've known since high school, or somebody like Curtis Strange or Andy North. They've all won two major championships, too. So, okay, what's your point, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It was just you really went down to the brass tacks when you were writing. When Aaron Ray, am I mispronouncing his name? Is it Rye, possibly?
I'm sorry?
Aaron.
I didn't get that.
Aaron Rye, is that his name, or is it Ray?
Right, I believe.
Right, okay. You do write. The PGA, because they know he's not marketable for any of their initiatives, must be kind of disappointed that he won.
Yeah, and that's sort of a thing that's always, that happens in a lot of businesses. I mean, I'm sure McLaren was disappointed that Justin Rose finished near the bottom of the, of what was it, the PGA Championship?
Uh-huh.
No, Doral. You know, this is the same week that he brought out the new McLaren irons. So, yeah, but that's typical in business. That's particularly it's that way in sports business. I mean, Aaron Judge has won MVPs. Okay, how many World Series has he won? Zero.
Mm. Yes.
With the Yankees. So, I mean, that's sort of, now he's not just another guy, but the World Series is a major. He hasn't won one yet. You know, there's guys who have won 3 and 4 World Series whose careers don't, you know, come close to matching that of Judge. So it's what I say all along, having done this for 100 years. It's welcome to the world of professional sports. And whether you're a golf fan, whether you're a golf writer or whoever you are, if you're interested in sports and you see, just get a little bit myopic about it, then you don't really understand how the world of professional sports works. And again, that goes back a little bit, I think, to the tour and to Monahan and to even the players on the PGA Tour. They never really understood how the world of professional sports worked. They wanted to play in that sandbox, but they never wanted to get their hands dirty in that sandbox. And I think Brian Rolapp, who came from the NFL, he understands all of that. And it's just now being able to sort of unfreeze that paralysis by that paralysis that they've had with all the tradition and move them in a direction where it becomes a more sustainable professional. It's always, professional golf is always going to be there, but to make it grow and become even more sustainable than it is now, I guess.
Yeah. And what you said too is, you know, he's a great guy. Aaron is a great guy, but he won't move the needle.
Yeah.
You know, he's not marketable. To put it simply, and this isn't really
a fair way to put it, but it's a simple way to put it, which is, I don't think anybody ran out the next day after he won the PGA Championship and said, I want to play the same clubs that he plays.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I want to dress, you know, like her. I want to play like him because they're stars. You got the star power. Some guys got it, and some guys or girls don't. It just is what it is.
You know, are you going to go watch Aaron Judge play if the Yankees are in town, or are you going to go watch a lifetime 220 hitter?
There you go.
You know, when this team comes to town, what team are you going to play? What team are you going to watch? What players are you going to watch? It's all star driven. The NFL is a little bit different. It's more team driven than star driven, but it all comes back to the same thing. And when we get back just for a second to the PGA Tour and LIV, I think what we found is that for better or for worse, most fans, they follow players and not tours.
Voila. Thank you. That's true. Thank you so much, Steve Pike, for being inside the clubhouse with me this morning. It's Spike on golfandtravel.com. That's where you'll find him. Is there something you wanted to bring up that I didn't give you a chance to?
No, I think that's it for now. This is this has been a terrific chance, as always, for me to vent, and we hope to do it again soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Aloha, Steve Pike.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this. Tim Dietrich's in the house. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
All right, you know, just as a thought, that's what I was upsetting about LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. When LIV Golf came along, a lot of the guys took the money and they went from the PGA Tour to LIV Golf. It took away our stars. You know, the people that we always, and they're coming back, but it was just strange. And the stars, they move the needle. And when the needle moves, everybody benefits from it. So it's an interesting period that we're going through. We're going to come back with Tim Dietrich right after this.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And let's bring him in, Tim Dietrich, Assistant General Manager, Kapalua Golf and Tennis, PGA, CCM, CCE, RSPA, PGA. Welcome into the clubhouse, Tim.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. I think the sun is coming out. There's a little bit of rain over the mountains. What is it like on Maui?
It's absolutely gorgeous. There's no wind. The sea is calm. The skies are blue. We saw this incredible orange moon this morning.
Oh, wow.
It was spectacular.
Wow. That is so cool. Oh, that's so cool. All right. Tim Dietrich, of course, is a golf professional, but he's also a tennis professional. United States Professional Tennis Association is now Racket Sports Professionals Association. So they've switched things up. That's where I got confused and I got educated. USPTA was founded back in 1927, the world's oldest and largest organization of tennis teaching professionals. When did you get into tennis and when did you get into golf, Tim?
Okay, that's a great question. By the way, 1927 was the year that both Wildlife Country Club and Mid-Pacific Country Club were kind of founded, so it's a kind of vicious year.
Yay!
The, The issue is I was a tennis player my whole junior career and taught tennis and actually snow skiing when I was growing up and when I was in my 20s and kind of continued and got into golf actually kind of late because the tennis court was getting too big on my side of the net. So I liked the idea of playing some golf. So I was a latecomer, but I'm an enthusiastic latecomer.
Oh, yes. Most of us are latecomers, are enthusiastic. Yeah. We just love it. But when you talk about tennis, is there a reason why it would be a good idea for, let's say, kids? Golf and children, I think, is one of the best mixes you can have. I think they should all go into junior programs and thrive because children seem to. How about tennis? Is it good for them, too?
Tennis is good because tennis has actually been able to downsize the court and the paddles and has adopted itself to a kind of a graduated method. Well, with kids getting at 5 years old, getting instruction, they're successful, which is important to, you know, to feel like it's fun. If you can't hit the ball and you can't do anything, it's not fun. So those paddles and the rackets are smaller and the balls are softer. Oh. So they don't, the court is smaller. So it's a really nice graduated way into it. And the instructors have really adapted their teaching to differentiate between how they approach kids and then how they approach adults, which is obviously the same thing for golf. We are totally different in the approach to the different ages, I should say.
Yeah, I always talk about, you know, junior golf and getting into the first tee program, for instance. And I just find that children learn not just the game, but behavior, you know, how to handle yourself among and give one person, it's their turn, don't step in front, you know, or don't make a lot of noise or whatever it is. And they just seem to thrive and make friends in those situations. Are there junior tennis lessons?
Yes, there are. We actually have summer tennis and pickleball junior camps going on at Kapalua in June and July. And those are for ages 5 to 15. So, you know, it's the same thing. Both tennis and golf are similar in that it's kind of self-regulating. You call your own lines in tennis, and you call penalties on yourself in golf. So, from that sense, it's really character building as well as what you mentioned as far as the etiquette side of it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how, when in June, July, how do they get their child enrolled in the program?
Well, we have professionals on staff, and they would contact them directly to do that. And if you want, I can give you the name on that, or do we want to just hold off and just maybe do it at the end? Or
we can do both. Let's do it now. And for some people who may have to turn off their, you know, radio to go to work, and we can repeat it at the end of the conversation.
So very quickly for tennis, for the junior camps, it's Lisa Paulson. She's the RSPA certified instructor, and she's at 808-298-9098 for the tennis part of it. And then we also have summer junior golf clinics in the end of June and in July, and that's just called the golf course, called Kapalua Reservations, and they'll give you all the information on that. So both golf and tennis are being offered for juniors this early part of the summer, so we're excited about both of those programs. But we're also excited today, actually, there's a free event for Lahaina Junior Golf, Hawaii Junior Golf, and First Tee. We're getting 60 golfers out on the plantation course to just enjoy the plantation course and
wow,
see how it's going. It's a big thank you. It's a big support for the junior golf here on Maui, and we're so thrilled to be able to host that. And the golf course is in phenomenal shape. We've come out of we did some verticutting earlier in the month, and it's all healed up, and I think the kids are going to have a great time today. The weather is certainly cooperating, and the course will absolutely give them some fun, but also some challenges.
That's wonderful. What's the weather been like on Maui? Has it been kind to the grass?
It's been very tough. It's been a little bit windy the last week, but today it's fine. And luckily, golf is one of the games where the wind does impact it quite a bit, but at least the ball is still stationary when you play in the wind. So not like tennis or pickleball where you've got to run around to catch up to it.
Yes. Yeah, that would pickleball. pickleball, why do people like it so much?
I think there's a low barrier to entry. It's kind of like everyone can play ping pong because the paddle's right next to your hand, and pickleball is pretty much the same thing. The court's not that big. You don't really need a lot of instruction to get some basic mechanics under your belt. So I think people enjoy it very quickly, and I think that that's something that, you know, both golf and tennis are, there's a little bit of a learning curve that can be quite lengthy to get to the point where you feel like you're competent. But pickleball is almost the first time you step on the court, you're going to have a great time.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. The fact that it's something that you can do easily. Can you transition from pickleball to tennis pretty easily, or is it very different?
It's more the transition from tennis to pickleball as people age out and they're not able to run as much. They move into pickleball. But I think pickleball is got a appeal to all demographics. And probably kids starting with pickleball may grow into a tennis mode. I think they're distinct, but there's certainly some transition going on. But it's more likely people age into pickleball because it's a little bit less strenuous on your body.
Excellent. That's good to know, because getting out and having fun, not just exercising, but having fun while you're exercising, it just makes it all the different things that happen inside your body and all the it's just a fun part about it. You come back and you're tired, but you're not uncomfortable, and that's it's a great feeling. It's enlivening, so to speak. Your GM Maui Group named again. Let's see now. How did that best golf courses and the Plantation course at Kapalua Golf came in first. So you have the 7 best golf courses and Kapalua's Plantation course came in. What was this? Who makes those decisions?
As far as why Kapalua's Plantation course is so highly rated?
Yes. Yeah, sort of like who rates these things and what do they base it on?
I think they base it on the overall golf experience. I imagine it's in the golf. There's golf raters for the various different golf publications that come around and rate the courses. And I think they look for playability. They look for challenge. They look for value. They look for the overall experience. I mean, the views from Kapalua Plantation course are just spectacular from pretty much every hole. And, you know, we pride ourselves on the golf course's condition and the fact that we've spent quite a bit of money and time and effort and expertise in the last 2 years to up the level. In 2019, we basically switched out all the grass on it and the course and refurbished the whole enchilada was redone, and we keep making things better and better. In fact, one of the more recent sustainability efforts that we're making is we've reduced the number of acres that we need to maintain and water as we allow native grasses to grow. So we're reducing by 10% the amount of water needed for the golf course, as well as the amount of fertilizer and effort to mow. And that's something I think is really important, because obviously West Maui had some water issues and still have some water issues. So anything we can do to conserve water is a very good thing. And the great thing is that these changes and these reductions allowing the native grasses to grow was approved by Ben Crenshaw and Bill Coore, the architects of the golf course. So this is an authorized change, and I think most golfers won't even they won't see any impact on the playability of the golf course, but certainly the sustainability part of it has really improved recently.
That's one of the reasons that I love golf course superintendents and all the people involved in our golf courses. There is a drive to take care of the golf course and take care of the land in general, to make sure that we don't overuse our resources. And I think a lot of people don't realize. They just look at the green grass and think, oh, wow, they're wasting. But they're not, you know, and people getting out in the fresh air, it's good. It's good for folks. So your commitment to community, is that part of the way you handle the golf course?
Absolutely. There's no question that our owner, Mr. Yanai, is very, very community conscious, and he's committed to the community. We do. One more thing on the junior side of the coin, where we have a couple of golf family night coming up in later June on the 20th. But just to get the family together with kids and out on our range and with a lot of different activities. So that's another one. But yes, the golf course's owner and ownership and leadership is definitely committed to assisting and supporting the community. You know, when the Century, which we could talk about if you want, but
yes,
when the Century had to pass, or when the PGA Tour needed to basically discontinue the Century in Kapalua, there was a big gap in the money that the Century was able to donate to local charities. It obviously didn't happen without a tournament, and our owner, Mr. Yanai, stepped up and wrote a check for $750,000 and gave it to the various charities that would have benefited from the Century being held. So there was no gap in that. And those charities, they really rely on that kind of contribution. So that was just one level where he stepped up and said, listen, we need to do this. And then he put $1 million in the Pui-Kukui watershed system to help maintain that. So, you know, it's not all about take. It's more about give, as far as we can see, not only for the families and the keiki, but also for the local community from a water perspective and from a give back perspective.
Yeah, I the Century having to go was really quite a blow, as well as, of course, here on Oahu when we lost our tournament at Wailea Country Club. KORL Waianae, Honolulu. So it's, you know, thank you so much to the gentleman. What was his name again?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I'm sorry, the name of the gentleman who gave the money?
It's Tadashi Yanai.
Yes.
He was the owner of both of the golf courses at Kapalua. And so this is his happy place. He has a house here, and this is where he comes to play golf and loves West Maui. And he wants to see the best happen for us going forward. I mean, we're just waiting for things to come into place so we can start to work on the bay course and get the bay course back up and running in a upscale, new, renovated mode. And we're looking forward to that as well.
Oh, tell us more about the bay course. It's such a great course, and it's not as complicated as some golf courses. It's pretty straightforward. Am I lost?
No. The bay course is much more user friendly. I mean, the scenery and it's the only over ocean hole is number 17 on Maui. So there's some spectacular things. You're trying to hit your tee shot, and you're seeing whales breaching and the sun and sunsets and
yes,
rainbows and all.
Yes.
But we're looking forward to redeveloping that course and bringing it up. It's been around since 1975, so, 51 years, and, the grasses need to be replaced, and the bunkers and the tees and the greens, all of that needs to be refurbished and upgraded, and so we're looking forward to that happening soon.
Who's taking over that job? Do you have an architect coming in, someone?
We do. And we have plans from David McClay Kids. Hopefully that will be, he's done the plans, and I think that's we're going to go home forward with that. I don't know that that's actually public, but.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's done some wonderful work in the state already, and hopefully he'll be doing more.
Yes, exactly. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Before we get in trouble. Okay. And when you talk about in our conversation, golf's appeal to everybody. Anyone can play golf. It's one of those wonderful places where you can go. You can feel comfortable. In the beginning, you might not feel comfortable, but that'll go away when you get on the golf course. And do you have instructors? Let's say somebody who's on Maui and they want to go get a lesson before they go on the course.
Yes, Ben Hongo has been at Kapalua for many, many years, and he's still teaching here. And so, you know, Ben Hongo golf is happening. And I think that when you touch on why golf is so appealing to many different demographics, is because there's many different reasons to play golf. You know, some people like the competitive aspect. Some people like the social aspect. Some people just want to get out in nature and walk. And other people like it because they like to tinker. They like to work on their mechanics. And they're just the kind of people who, when they were kids, were taking things apart and putting them back together. And certainly the golf swing is conducive to that kind of approach. But obviously, you fool around with it too much and it gets more challenging.
That's why Ben Hongo is so important. You see, he can tell you to stop messing with the, you know, it's pretty basic. You know, the golf swing isn't all that complicated, but some people, you know, make it a little bit more complicated and pretty soon they're frustrated. So that's why going to a teaching instructor just in general in golf is so important, just to get some basics down, and then you can move along. Ben's a frequent guest on the show. So let's wrap it up here, Tim. So June 20th is family night. And where is that going to be held?
That's going to be held at the Bay Golf Course Driving Range Practice Facility. We've got some things, face painting and balloons and bicycle, and we got a whole bunch of things that, going on the 20th. And it's going to be open to on June 1st, we're going to open signups, and that will fill up. And we've done it in the past, and within a couple of days, it's full already. So we have a maximum capacity on that we really can't go over. So I encourage people to go online and golf at Kapalua and find out how to get involved with that.
Okay, that's golf at Kapalua, and you'll want to sign up for that fun that you'll have at family night on June 20th, okay? That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Then for folks who'd like to get the kids out to learn a game like tennis, Lisa Paulson, her number is 808-298-9098. Did I get that right?
You did.
Fabulous. 808-298-9098, and that's for tennis. Now, how about for golf?
Hongo Golf would do it, or just call our golf reservation staff, and they'll have all the connections for that.
Excellent. So you call the Kapalua reservations and talk to the folks who answer the phone, and junior, you know, it's junior golf, and you want to get your kids going on that, and that's it's a lot of fun for them. And you know, golf takes you through every part of your life. When you're in business, and they say to you, hey, you know, we're going to go play some golf this weekend. You want to come along? You want to say yes, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. It's good to know what you're getting yourself into, so go take a lesson. Tim Dietrich, so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle. You have a very lovely day.
You too. Aloha. Coming back, speaking of teaching professionals, it's Claude Brousseau's it's his turn this week. PGA Master, Director of Player Development. He's over at Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. And we'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
See, yeah, good fun. That's the most important part about that. All right, it almost stopped raining. I mean, I see a few raindrops on the window here downtown Honolulu. It looks like the sun's trying to come through but it's going to be a beautiful day. It's almost stopped raining. To help you through the chaos, yes, Aloha Power's After the Rain sale features Honda generators, pumps, and chainsaws, and weed whackers, and trimmers, and the list is long. You got to go to Aloha Power's After the Rain sale, up to 25% off, and they have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. And your back isn't hurting as much. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evilei, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, one of the busiest, I think, on the planet, on June 1, 2026, so that's like a couple of days from now, it's the 30th, it's coming up right away. The tournament manager is Allison Wallace, and boy, she's wonderful. info@hsjga.org. is where you can get more information if you don't catch it here. So that's info@hsjga.org. The Hawaii State Junior Golf Association has the U-Swing Mojing Junior World Qualifier at the Wailea Gold Golf Course. Wailea, of course, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association conducting that U-Swing Mojing Junior. It's a world qualifier June 3rd through the 5th at Wailea Gold Golf Course. It'll be a 54-hole stroke play, and it's contested over 3 days. Runs simultaneously with the Aloha Section PGA Junior Championship. HSJGA awards the following spots to juniors hoping to compete in the U-Swing Mojing Junior World Tournament that's in San Diego this July. So there are three boys, 13 to 14, three boys, 15 to 18, three girls, 13 to 14, and four girls, 15 to 18, trying to get in. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So get involved. Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, info@hsjga.org. And now, Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Golf Club on Maui, author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game, Vision 54 Coach, Aimpoint Certified, ranked Best Teacher in the State of Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share my passion with golf with your listener.
Yeah, well, it's wonderful having you. You know, as I said, he's a PGA Master. He's a Golf Digest instructor, V1 Sport Coach Ambassador, Talent Contributor, Sports Illustrated Talent Contributor, Sportsbox AI Certified, Flight Scope Certified Professional, Aimpoint Level 3 Certified Instructor, and he's going to answer this question. what's destroying my golf swing, Claude?
All right, Danielle.
Let's get right to it.
He could have many things, but let's focus on two really important things, Danielle.
Okay.
So what destroyed the swing of many golfers is, first, they're thinking too much at the ball. And then the other thing is too much tension, muscular tension in their body and their hands, basically. So it's easy to remember there is two things, thinking too much and too much tension.
Does the tension come from thinking too much?
It will also, yes, because you see, when the golfer, that's so great comment there, Danya, when the recreational golfer, he or is over the ball, they stay there too long because they're thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
The longer they stay, you're absolutely correct, the tensions start to build up as well.
I'm feeling, you know, just thinking about it, because there's something about being that little ball. You know, it has this incredible hold. Help us.
Yeah.
You've got to help us.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. So, first, when you are at the ball, you want to stay in motion, and you don't want to think about what you don't want to do. That's the problem. So, first, the golfer think, oh, I don't want to go in the water. I don't want to go in the bunker. And then after that, you can see the list going on and on. So now they say, oh, I need to keep my head down, my left arm, let's say my lead arm has to be straight. And last time I missed the shot. So when that's too much thinking.
Yeah.
So what you need to do at the ball is replacing the word by trusting your swing. Even if it's not as the swing is not as good as you would like. So to avoid, as soon as you get thoughts in your head, you need to analyze them, and then you need to replace them. They say, okay, I'm thinking about putting that ball on the right side of the fairway, as an example. Then if you stay in motion over the ball, meaning when you watch better players, we know in average they stay over the ball 4 seconds, maybe between 4 and 9 seconds.
Wow.
So they're in motion. So for the listener there, or, you know, people who play, 4 to 9 seconds, they will feel, close, that's way too fast. But it's not, because you want to keep moving your feet. You see some people would woggle. You see golfer, their head and their eyes are looking at the target, look back. Most of the golfer are always in motion. So when you do that, it decreases the tension, and you're more like an athlete that will swing a club.
I love some of the comments that you've said, you know, all the things that we think. Don't go in the water. Don't top the ball. I don't want to miss it. Am I swaying? You know, all of those things are things. It's like, could you just shut up? Danielle, just shut up and hit the ball already, you know? Just do your best to get it out there. And when you relax, you know, when you just do it, it often goes much better than if you stand there concentrating on making the right swing and et cetera, et cetera. And then you end up flubbing it, topping the ball, and it just rolls off the tee. You know, it's just, that's why we need you.
Yes, that's true. Then for helping you with the tension, Danya, the first thing you have as a golfer to recognize how much tension you have. And most of the golfers don't spend enough time on that. They're not aware of, man, they're strangling that club. They try to get some juice out of the grip, I call that. So how would you be more aware of the level of tension you have is on the practice swing, if you want. You can do a practice swing. Now, you really squeeze it really, really hard. Then the next swing, you barely hold the club. So now you will recognize what is, let's say, on a scale of 0 to 10, just to make it maybe more clear. So 10 will be squeezing the heck out of it. 2 will be just barely feeling, ooh, I'm still holding the club. And then you could do a third swing where you are somewhere in between 10 and 2.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to do three swing, just the fact that you could, but you can do those swing when the other people are getting ready. So the point here is making you aware how much tension you have in your swing and your setup.
Yeah. Move with any kind of fluidity, you know, just you tighten up.
Yes. If you look at any other athlete and other sports, before they will execute their motion, they will take a deep breath. Most of them, even the players, the golfer. So if you see them, they will kind of loosen up their shoulder. Fred Couple was a good example. You know, just pulling his shirt, and you will see most of the golfer, if you pay attention, they will take a deep breath and exhale before they walk to the ball. So they want to decrease the level of tension. That's, now, yes. Obviously, at the ball, it's an athletic swinging motion. You use your entire body, then you will have some powerful impact. So I always share with the golfer, if you want to feel tension in your body in one place, it should be in your glutes and your legs, because they are the power engine of your golf swing.
So it's this stabilizing your legs, so your glutes and tell us the and the legs, that's the most important part, to have stationary.
Yes. But I will say they're not totally stationary, because when you move, you will use your feet, your knee, your hips, your lower body. But what I'm saying is that you want to feel your upper body, like arm, shoulders, more relaxed. So when that's what I will say. And then you want to be really ready in your legs, like it's almost getting ready to jump in the air. So that's where you will feel more tension in your body.
Okay. But that's okay tension, right? The buttocks and the thighs holding on,
yes,
while you're swinging,
yes,
the club. So yes, when you say simulation of a golf swing, there are two important factors that dictate how the ball flight, club face at impact, swing path. Can you kind of give us more pictures in the mind?
Yes. Let's create a picture. So let's say you're a golfer right now and you're not driving, obviously. No, you're listening at home. So you will kind of just get into your ready position to play without the club. And then with your lead hand, let's say for a right-handed players, that will be the left one, you just let your arm dangle, relax from the shoulder socket right in the center of your body. Then with your lead hand, the left hand, you make a fist, okay? That would represent the golf ball.
Okay.
Then with your other hand, you put it as flat as possible, like the palm touching your fist. So the palm of the back hand, the trailing hand, would represent the club face. Is it clear, that picture,
yeah,
so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Then from there, you keep the fist hand in front of you, and then you simulate a backswing with your body with the trailing hand only. Then you return like if you were swinging a golf club. What you will realize, Danielle, everybody in the world that has them to do that, they return at their fist with the trailing hand perfectly square. Nobody, I have not seen yet, Danielle, anybody doing that scooping motion, trying to go underneath the fist, I don't see anybody over rotating their trailing hand either to the right or to the left. Obviously, I didn't see anybody missing their hand, their fist. And then so I tell them that exercise is a simulation of the golf swing, and you go all the way to the completion of your golf swing. So this is a very, very easy. You can do it anywhere. You can even do it on a golf course. You can do it anywhere to reset. Wow, that's the feeling. Nobody yet have come over the top, meaning, you know, like when they slice the ball, their pop is outside in. So, but when you ask them to do that little simple exercise, Daniel, I have not seen anybody coming over the top or coming too much from the inside. They just do a very, very functional golf swing. So I tell them, the club now in your hand is just an extension of that.
I like this because usually people are standing over the ball, staring at it. It's staring back at them, and it's frightening. you're not sure if you're going to actually make contact and it's going to go somewhere, or if it's just going to fall off the tee, or, you know, there's so many different things that can happen, and all of that is going on in your brain. You know, this could happen, that could happen. Is there a way to shut that off?
But, okay, this is very good, Danielle. This is very good. No, you don't want to shut that off.
Okay.
Because the brain, no, this is very good. This is like a subtle little differentiation, but you cannot stop your brain to have thoughts. It's just impossible. The brain has a lot of thoughts all the time. So what you want to do is recognizing those thoughts and realigning them or reframing the thought. Let's say you say, oh, I'm not sure I would hit the ball. But you want to reframe that. Okay, I did a solid contact with my driver last week. Something like that.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Something positive. Something that you did good so that you can bring that home again to where you are now.
Yeah, because those nagging fear of missing the shot will increase the tension, and then will not help you to play better golf. So you need to acknowledge them and immediately replace them with something that you remember. You replace. Oh yeah, last time I put my driver solid, you know, on the right side of the fairway. Well, it's not the best shot, but I move the ball from point A to point B. So you need not trying to avoid those thoughts. You need to recognize them and then reframe them in the way that what you want to do.
Excellent. This is Claude Brousseau. You can find him at cbrousseau@wailaeagolf.com. You can call him at 808-856-9458. You can also book a lesson by going online to wailaeagolf.com. So those are great ways to get a hold of Claude Brousseau. He's got so many, his food for thought. Learning happens when you discover the unknown. And you learn with Claude Brousseau as he helps you discover the unknown in your golf swing. You can compete externally and you compare. Compete internally and you improve. Okay, so that's from James Clear through Claude. Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us. We just never have quite enough time to cover everything.
That's okay, Daniel, but thank you very much for the opportunity. And aloha, enjoy your day and be grateful.
Thank you. And I want to thank the people who make this show possible, of course. Aloha Power Equipment. Work smarter, faster, easier. Our Honda generators, our water pumps, chainsaws, riding and walking mowers, the weed whackers, a whole lot more, 25% off. Get yours today. Aloha Power Equipment. Open Monday through Saturday at the on the Evie Lay side. They're next to the Costco gas station. And, of course, there's also the Aloha Power in Waipahu. The Aloha Section PGA, thank you. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, health, friendship, and family, go golf. Claude Brousseau, thank you for being inside the clubhouse and the Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round, wind down after work. It's the Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. It's good golf, good food, Good fun. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.